Oh, Toothpick. He's on promos. He's a bad man. And in the nation's capital, the DMV, Toothpick and the First Lady, a.k.a. Chief, Lady Chief. And I hope everything's working out. Dynamite Brother, First Ring Podcast, a must listen to. And now the question of the day has been, what level of the Commanders are you most concerned with? Big Fella joins us. Now he's a staple. We start our conversations off with people that have their hand in the dirt. We don't like the two-point stance. We'll accept it if we have to. But that's how much the game has changed. So Mitch Tischler joins us now. Big Fella, you a gym rat, man. You supposed to be. You think Finley's working now? Heck no. He's stuffing his face with hors d'oeuvres and probably sucking down some nice frosty beverage, and here you are grinding. Do you ever take a day off?
Doc, I'm here for you. Whenever you need me, I'm ready to go. That's the world we live in.
Metal, you see what I mean? Lunatic. Love that. How excited are you, big fella? When we start talking about O-line, D-line, and we start and we end every conversation with the soldiers, the personal protectors, and the aggressors, I think we're better on paper. The short sample size for me is incomplete because it's the Bengals. But I like the way we look, and I think the depth is what I'm comfortable with. Is that a false sense of security?
No, I think this offensive line is going to be could be about as good as we've seen in Washington since the Hogs were running around there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the front five, but the depth that they've been able to build.
Yeah. Got to go nine deep.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the guys that they kept, and there aren't a whole lot of NFL question marks per se, because you have guys here who've been there and done that and proven it. And when you look at the depth, you have Trent Scott, and you have, Andrew Wiley, whether he's starting to start the season or a depth guy, but two guys that can play both tackle and guard. You look at Chris Paul, who's just continued to mature in the time that he's been here, held on the back end of the roster and has been a really important piece to everything these guys are trying to do. On down to, George Fant, who's been all a Pro Bowl vet, guy who started at both tackle positions, has played 16, 17 game season before. It's impressive the way that they've rebuilt this O-line in such a short period of time.
And Paul, in particular, when a guy gets that much done with his body, we talk about the quarterback and how he's 24/7. For Big Fella, man, that says, I love his hands, his strength, and his feet. But this guy could end up being something really special. And I love the fact that they can play multiple positions. That doesn't happen everywhere. That staff, they've got to be definitely given a fun bunch high five for their development.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, I think for folks that listen to the Beltway Football Podcast and the stuff that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
when Ron Rivera was here, I would yell and scream about this positional depth that multi-position learning that Ron loved to positional flex that Ron
yeah,
Rivera
yeah,
loved
position
to talk
flex.
About.
Let me throw up.
And the position flex is important, but to me, when Ron was here, he was putting that position flex too much information on young guys early on in their careers. And I remember talking to one defensive player early on in the Ron era, and he was talking about having to learn strong safety, nickel, free safety, and a little corner at the same time.
Brain overload.
To the point where he got out on the field and had to think too much because he wasn't just reacting. So these guys that they have that have the positional flex and the depth are guys who have been in the NFL. You don't think Andrew Wiley knows how to play tackle, and then he can start learning, more. He played inside a guard also in Kansas City, but he can start learning more. Trent Scott, guy who's been around the league for a while, is comfortable at tackle and can step inside and play guard. Even Nick Allegretti, who certainly had his struggles last year at guard, but certainly has been there and done that with his time in Kansas City. And now here, he's a guy who's your backup center. And the positional flex is an important piece of every NFL team, but there's a nuance to it where your vets who have a chance to have established themselves in the league know how to learn, know how to study, know how to prepare for a game, can then be put and given a little bit more information and start working on different positions. When you're in your first year in the league and you start throwing multiple things at guys, they start thinking on the field too much and not reacting. At the end of the day, you want football players to be football players. And so that's what I've really liked about what DQ and company have done. They talk about positional flex and they want guys that play multiple positions, but they're also in it to develop these young guys at their main position. And then as they start getting comfortable, can start learning more and more.
You're going to love this from Kid Quick on X. And you can hit me up on X at Rick Doc Walker. I don't have a BTP or an underscore, but I think you can probably just remember my name, which is kind of logical, right? Most people just say their name, but they don't get into exotic packages or all those other things. But Kid Quick says, K9, I've got Dennis Green vibes. Everybody's crowning our ass. We'll see what happens when the Giants front walks into our kitchen, sits at the table, tries to eat our food, and kiss the wife.
Yeah. Listen, Doc, ain't nobody anointing anybody. All you can do is talk about what we've seen in training camp and look at the experience and what these guys bring to the table. Certainly that week one game is going to be a big one, and we're, 6 days away from it. But you're looking at a group that's bringing in Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and, who's the kid, Abdul Carter, that they drafted. I mean,
young freak.
This Giants defense, I think, on the back half has some questions in it. But up front, those front seven, those front four, the guys we're getting after the quarterback, are going to be a hell of a test for this group week one to get going. And then all of a sudden, 4 days later, you got the Packers, who have always had a strong defense, and they just added Micah Parsons. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about this front five, the Commanders starting offensive line, the Commanders group up front, and the way that they protect Jaden real quick, real early this season.
Yeah, it is going to be that. Can you give us, I don't know if you laid eyes on him, but I am concerned. Love Mariota. I think he's outstanding. I think it's a great way to have a guy who's your backup, who has similar skill sets as your starter. I think that's it. But how about his injury? That is a concern of mine. It's like scary because he hasn't been ramped up. And I'm sure they're doing all the things that are precautionary to get him so he's game ready. Do you have any concerns about his readiness on Sunday?
Not necessarily in his readiness on Sunday. He seems to be recovering well from the Achilles tendonitis that he was dealing with. But I do think that the reason that the team kept three quarterbacks and Josh Johnson stayed on the 53-man roster is because you have to be concerned about an injury like that. You know, they've done a really good job of giving him the time and the space to rehab and get back, and he is back at practice. But I think there has to be some, legitimate concern when things start getting inflamed down by that Achilles tendon and thing, you got to work on that thing. I mean, we've seen it across all sports, the proliferation of Achilles tears, and I'm not saying that Mariota's necessarily going to do that, but that you have to be prepared in case, the worst happens. And I think, keeping a guy like Josh Johnson there gives you that veteran depth, much like I just talked about with the offensive line, guys who have been there and done that before. Ideally, we don't see Josh Johnson or Marcus Mariota take a single snap all season, maybe week 18 when the Commanders have everything wrapped up as they get to the playoffs. But that's for future us to worry about. But you do have a level of stability behind Jaden Daniels in that quarterback room that if the worst happens, you have guys, Marcus Mariota, former number two overall pick, guy who started in the league for a while, been there, who can step in. And if Marcus, ends up with any issues, Josh Johnson is the consummate veteran. He's been on, 14 different NFL teams. Heck, we, Doc, saw him come into Washington on a Wednesday and start, I think it was Jacksonville, on a Sunday.
Yeah, so, we're Jacksonville. That's right.
That's a guy who's been there, done that, and, you can put him in the most adverse situations and he's going to be ready to step up and play. And so,
high IQ.
You're not flailing in the wind if the worst happens.
Yeah, high IQ. It's it is amazing, but again, we just got to cross our fingers and hope. Is there one particular spot you've seen every practice, every session, you've seen everything? Toby Altizer, the youngest in charge, he put a focus this morning on In for the Junks and talking about our wide receivers. I think that I applaud the coaching staff because B. Mitch was allowed to get out on the field and talk with the returners and be a part of that, which I think is, hello, you got a dude that did what he did, and he's at your facility every day, and the pass groups chose not to tap in. Well, this group tapped into him, and I think that we're going to see benefits in our return game because that's the one thing that I think we can vastly improve upon, and it's the missing link. It was our fiber of our DNA. It is teams. Do you see teams and returns getting back to normal?
Yeah, I do. Well, certainly the kick and punt returns. The kickoffs have been, you know, I think have been troublesome in the preseason. Hopefully they work through those kinks and are trying to figure it out by the time we get to week one. But, you know, that's been one of the hallmarks of Dan Quinn when, you know, as a coach is that, you know, he's open to all voices and him extending and reaching out to try and find people, you know, who can help out, you know, across the board in many different ways. You look at, you know, bringing in, you know, some of the folks that they have in Washington and the way that they've been able to work around, you know, the different places. I mean, you look at a guy like Wes Welker, you know, who's obviously an established, you know, guy who's been there, done that, one Super Bowls in New England. He's not just working with the wide receivers, though. He's working with the DBs over there and having, you know, having kind of that cross training, having a wide receiver, you know, work with those DBs, and he can teach them things that they would be otherwise almost guessing at as to what receivers do. But you talked about embracing the past and, you know, the hallmarks of, you know, what it meant to be to play in the burgundy and gold. I think you have to give Tim Hightower just an unbelievable amount of credit for the work that he's done. He's the former running back here in Washington, Carolina. He's the alumni advisor now for the team, and over the past, four years?
Yeah, 4 years. Really, and that's not the easiest job in the world when you got one person, maybe have an assistant, and you're dealing with close to 100 people that live in the DMV, and everybody wants something. And, no, he's got one of the toughest jobs on the planet. And everybody in any pro organization that has to deal with the alumni, that's a daunting task because, you know, everybody wants something.
So, Doc, and bringing those guys back into the building, getting those guys to be around players, you know, I'm not saying that Darryl Green's walking in and telling, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, you know, how to play against a fly pattern. But when players with that gravitas stand in front of your team and speak to them, stand in front of different groups, you know, you get that team, that community feel. You get everyone, you know, buying into the glory days. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, if you can see it, you can do it. And to have all these former Super Bowl winners and successful guys, you know, around the NFL walking those halls again is a big part of making that, you know, Dan Quinn loves to talk about family. Having those guys around that, you know, you want to listen to your elders and hear what they have to say because they have experiences that you don't have.
Yeah, like B. Mitch's event last night, where I was shocked that you weren't there, but I figured maybe you could take a few hours off to get rested. But Rollo, Gary Clark, being there, Kurt Gouveia, man, I was so pumped up to see Gouveia, who was an absolute terror on defense. You know, he and Raven Caldwell, roommates, that's the thing about it. Those are special moments, man. Of course, Mouth of the South, 8-9, Rocky, you know, McIntosh being there. These kind of things, man, Lamont Jordan, it doesn't get any better than when you get to see guys, Rollo McKenzie, and everybody got stories. And that's the thing that you put your young people around, people who have positive stories, not stories of getting their asses kicked and being in last place, having four wins. No, champions. And that's that pedigree. That's the part that's infectious. That's why I applauded the staff for allowing B. Mitch to be a part of the return, talking to the return guy, being comfortable with them, allowing, you know, those guys to be comfortable with him. I think it's priceless. You're right.
And you know, being around B. Mitch for all these years, like watching the kick and punt return games and hearing him talk about, hey, this is what they are doing and this is what they should be doing and seeing the difference. And then you watch Jalen Lane step out on the field in the preseason.
Love him.
He's catching the punts and kicks, or the punts, I guess, with, you know, 1 foot back, ready to take it downhill. And that's something that, you know, we've seen a lot of guys, you know, fair catching a lot of punts and stuff like that. And to have guys with that kind of, you know, that kind of knowledge and attention to detail out there, you know, helping the coaches and helping the players, goes a long way in improving across the board.
Hey, man, I hope that J.P. Finley invited you out to have a nice barbecue, sit at his palatial estate, and just enjoy all the work that you put in.
We every year at the end of the season, Doc, we have a nice night out, a nice guys' night out, some steaks, some bourbon, and, you know, appreciate all the work that we put in. But this is grind season right now, Doc.
Can't wait to see you.
Goes through February.
Can't wait to see you when they celebrate the 8 to 9, and he goes into the Ring of Fame, man. Look forward to it, big fella. As always, you're priceless.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doc.
Thank you. Mitch Tischler. Big fella, man, bringing it. And, yeah, we talk O-line, D-line. We talk hand in the dirt. And, Mel, were you ever able to play any other position other than O-line, D-line?
So I was actually pretty skinny when I was younger.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was more of a wide receiver build. Yep.
What?
Yeah.
Man, I got to get a photo. I got to see. It's hard for me to see you small, but I need to see that. It's like, to me, you were like born your size. And so I'm just
No, but I'll tell you, like I said, I was much more into ice hockey when I was younger.
That's right. That you hockey guy. Into. Yeah, you hockey guy. That's the roughest sport. Roughest thing going.
Oh, so fun.
It's good. Hey, Shane, be patient. Clark, Victor, we appreciate you guys being patient. Take a quick break. We'll come back, and we will light you up right here. B. Mitch and Finley and the crew having some R&R. I can just see Finley right now. Because when, you know, when JP, when he starts shaking his head, then I guess you know what's up next, right? Yeah, I thought you would. Shane in the District of Columbia shares with us his number one concern about the Commanders. What's up, Shane?
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Happy holiday to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry
Thank
for
you.
My voice, man. I lost my voice. I was at the Tennessee Syracuse game. Go Vols!
I love that passion.
But anyway, look, everybody knows it's common sense, right? The trenches are where you win. But nobody's talking about the third phase of the game, special teams. Like, special teams, is last time I checked, is a big part of football.
Yep.
We need a field goal kicker. We need, finally, a punt return. You look at a difference maker that can flip the field. Look, before Jane Daniels, Tressway was the MVP of our team for, like, 3-4 years because that's what he did. Like, people forgot about how important he was to this team and still is. If you can flip the field, that's a game changer. That's you got a guy that can return a kick, and it's a momentum. Football's momentum. We finally have those players on this team because the right organization now, management, everything's going forward, right? So, yeah, it's common sense. The offensive line has got to be very important this year because look at the Giants. Look, Giants give us a fit every year. It doesn't matter. It's like the LSEC teams, right? We'll compare it to that way. It doesn't matter what your record is. The Giants are going to give us a fit every year. Yep. You know that.
Yep.
Hell, we're lucky to win last year. Every time we play, it comes down to the wire or a questionable call or whatever it is. And that front seven they got is no joke. I mean, they're going to bring it, and they're going to bring it. And I got the Giants as my surprise team this year. I think that defense is going to be legit. But I got to say this to you, Doc. Your Bruins look pretty
pathetic.
Look pretty
pathetic.
Yeah, look, y'all can have Nico. I'm glad Nico transferred. I think it just goes to show you poor management once again. You know, you can't tell me he don't wish he was in Knoxville right now. But hey, he's y'all's problem now. But thanks, Doc, and
appreciate
and
you, man. Go Vols. Go Vols. One of the best home field advantages for the fans. If you're lucky enough to come in on a boat, you know, that river, you just don't think of Tennessee I mean, and the water views and the transportation on boats, and as the Vols walk in the orange blazers, it's one of the, I don't know if it's a best kept secret, but it's something that you want to put on your list of things you need to see. Home game, volunteers, you know, all the college teams that walk in their respective areas, but they got a waterfront view thing that is awesome.
Well, you got what, Graceland out there?
It's awesome, man. It's the Vols. Now, the Vols let me down a little bit because I thought we'd fare better last year against the Buckeyes going in there. I don't know if the temperature thing got to them a little bit, but it's a nice program. And I'm interested to see what happens. That's the beauty about it. 1 week in the SEC, 1 week. And already we're making those projections. We're looking down the thing. You know, one stinking week, and it can happen. Because when Alabama loses, I've never seen so many people happy. They've been, you know, Nick, I mean, just to be that much of a badass for that long, it really says something. You notice that? I was glancing at First Take and seeing Stephen A. and company and your favorite player, Cam Newton.
I do like Cam Newton. Don't love his fashion sense, but I loved him as a player.
I would like, if anybody can describe to us, what do you call what Cam does? It's got to be a name for it.
It's like a peacock or something.
I just don't know what it is. I'll bet you somebody with this high IQ audience that we attract, I do believe somebody will tell me. I don't know what it is.
Peacock couture.
You got to cut a hole into all his brims to pull his dreads through that. Ties them up nice and neat. And
he definitely has sort of that Golden Girls flowy robe vibe going on with drapery-looking pattern.
He's got a thing. You know, he's got a thing. I don't know what you call it, but, you know, he does... He does have a thing. I was with Santana last night. Again, I go reference back to this because I was shocked J.P. Finley was not there. That really surprised me because J.P.'s hardly ever off. He's like always working. So any event that he's at with the number, Kirk Gavea is in town. I mean, we should have had something to just celebrate him alone. Awesome dude, man. I miss that brother so much. He was just so talented. He never had to make a lot of noise. His game spoke for himself. But Gavea was special, man. He really, really special. So what area do you have most concern about with the Commanders? Lap, K9. What's up?
What's up, Doc?
Hey, man, working over a hot microphone.
I know, man. I know. You know, that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, real big.
Hey, I just want to see what this defense going to look like, man. Of course, you know, I got my concerns with Debo and Noah Brown. You know, I call Noah Brown Mr. Glass. He always hurts. So hopefully, man,
that's not his intention.
Yeah, true that.
It's
true
tough,
that.
Man. I mean... It's almost like NASCAR, and they got restrictive beams. They've got all this protection holding up, but you know it's built for collisions.
Yeah.
But in this game, it's a collision sport. So I'm always sensitive when people or maybe tag on a little bit or say, well, the guy's always hurt. Well, you realize what he does for a living, right? It's almost like the night workers that work on streets that repair our roads in the DMV. That's one of the craziest gigs going because at night when you're replaying roads and people are driving by you and there's probably a pretty decent percentage of those people that had a shot or two. Man, that to me is one of the most dangerous gigs on the planet. Working roadside at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. I want to see the secondary, man. I'm excited about the secondary and the special teams. And I'm curious about this front seven, Doc, man. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to play collectively as a unit. You know, it's not going to be too many people that's going to stand out like a Miles Garrett type, but I think collectively as a unit, I think they're going to be tough. So I'm excited to see with that front seven, and I'm really excited about the secondary, man. So we'll see, man. I'm just glad football back, Doc. Getting ready for the season, man. I'm pumped.
Countdown, brother. Countdown.
Yep.
T-minus. Yeah, T-minus. And to have Santana being honored, I can't tell you about a guy I'm so proud of. And and for what he brought.
He wanted the greats.
And with the thrills that he brought us.
Yeah.
You know, through a tough time, this dude was always that light that was bright. It is 11:41 here in the nation's capital. Break time for us. We got a shout out to Toby Altizer, the youngest in charge over there at Nats Park. You know, doing a little fan thing. He's like hanging out. And he keeps the faith. And we got to be strong, man, because we need a W. We'll be right back. Studio. And it says Polly. And it says Bowie. Oh, okay. I'm like, wow, I didn't know he was. Okay, it is Little. All right, now that makes a little more sense. Polly. Not in the 757. So Little, what's your accomplishment of the day?
Man, what's going on, legend? Shout out to Metal. You know what I'm worried about, Doc? If we get away from the running game. I truly believe if we that's why I like my man Marcolago Lando. If we establish that running game on anybody, I don't care the hell who it is, Philly, Pittsburgh, anybody, if we can get 4.2, 4.3 yards per carry, man, look, we running the guy, sorry about the family, we running the table. And look, I want to give a shout-out for my nephew, I was telling Metal. He got on the field yesterday. He had a couple of fouls, a couple of penalties. Earl Little Jr. A lot of black history in my name, Doc. But I say that for February, Black History Month. But the boy is a great, he's a great grandson of Earl Little. Earl Little was Malcolm's father.
Where does he play?
Malcolm Little. Yeah, he plays safety. He plays
where?
Florida State.
He's a Seminole?
Yeah, he got on the field yesterday. I'm going to give him, he played the same position I played in high school. And I remember when he was a little dude. But for some reason, when he was little, man, that little dude was quick, because we had a family reunion down in Florida back about 2004 or 2005, somewhere around that time. He was just in junior high school, but the boy was, he was good little dude. I see, he was in elementary school. I'm like, this little dude, and he quick, and he could jump. Earl Little Jr., he got on the field yesterday. He's a starter. I think he played free safety, big fella.
But all right, God, well,
bless
good
y'all
deal.
Stay up, man. Look,
appreciate
it. Let me tell the nation. Don't worry about nothing, because if we establish a running game, we patty cake any damn team come in the house. That's simple as that.
Establishing a running game.
I'm adamant about that.
It's like in baseball, having a guy on that bump that's getting people out.
Yes, sir.
You're right. Appreciate you, Lou.
Anybody.
It is heavy metal and Victor now. So Vic, the big boss, comes in. He puts an intimidating level of intimidation on all of us. You know, it's like,
I'm just shaking in my boots over
here. Yeah, I know. No, really. You know, it's like Vic tries real hard to be just one of the guys, but he's not, because he's management. He's a power structure, power hitter. And he ups our game, though. That's a good thing about it. I like it. I like it because, you know, nobody wants to be caught sipping on coffee or not sitting up straight in a chair, you know, not having everything just right when Vic smooths in. So that's a good thing. And I feel for Victor, because whenever the Nats don't get it done, when I hit a grand slam, I just go, my God. Victor's at every one of them. 1-6-2, he's there. And there's no game without Vic. No game without Vic. And when it's rolling well, it's a hell of a ride. But when that thing is shaky, I mean, there's nothing like, when you don't have a good crowd, it just takes it's deflating. Beautiful park, beautiful day. Nobody actually, you know. And so Toby is over, like, he's going through all the stands and suites. He's taking advantage of it now, like, it's his personal day at the park.
You're going to hear, like, Toby specifically clapping. It'll be like the one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, having, you know, covered the team, whenever your project you're involved in is not good, it affects you. If it doesn't affect you, you shouldn't have a job. You just shouldn't. But it's tough. And baseball's forever. And I don't think we have any clarity on next season. I mean, direction, clarity, who's going to be in charge. There's a lots of questions, but who's going to answer them? Not doing it. Who's going to answer them?
Won't be me.
No, me
will
too.
Not be me.
Yeah, me, I'm with you. But they need to be answered because we don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, this losing streak they're on right now is not great.
Not just them, man. The Mystics, too.
Yeah.
I told you, man, I'm really, my blood pressure is dropped. My whole metabolism is just slowed down.
Nats had one earlier this season, too, like 12 games or something, right?
Yeah, had a moment. Well, it's...
right now it's 8 straight, I know, but I thought they had one earlier this season, too, that was like 12 or something.
Hey, man. Mystics, this is the first time. This has been a lull. I can handle if you got youth, you got 2 of your 3 draft picks that are playing. I've kind of got a little patience for that for a minute. And then to see the Terps win, that's an up. Then the Hokies don't. I mean, the Hokies. So if you get involved in this, it should affect you. Some people act like, well, whatever. No, it ain't no whatever. It's what I don't want to be tied up in a region that people aren't focused on winning. That participation trophy thing, I know I can't change it, but whoever authored that in should be bullwhipped. So I think we're kind of barely getting out of that crap and getting back in. You get what you compete for. And we got to be hungry, man. It's that's why Sunday is going to be so inviting. Yesterday, who can honestly say they didn't watch any college football? Who can honestly say that? Because if you didn't watch any college football yesterday, you're not listening. I mean, you're just not listening. It was, and I tell you what, for openers with no scrimmages and no practices, they don't get together and have script. That was pretty decent football. Those kids and those colleges, I mean, they put in some work. Now, they do have spring football, you know, which is within the calendar year. It was pretty decent football. Who'd you pick? Did you play Notre Dame?
No, I'm a Notre Dame hater. So I'm always,
that's right, you're a hater. That's right.
I don't really care one way or the other for Miami.
I can't believe that you hate
anybody.
Did you hate anything?
Well, so like my mom went to Purdue and Notre Dame's another Indiana school.
Okay.
So it's like,
all right,
yeah.
So that's why. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, hey, man, you got to roll whatever mom says. You got to go with it. The Irish. It's, and then the U. There's something about whenever I see Miami and see Rocky McIntosh, the U, he was there last night, B. Mitch in the event, it's like I want them to be really good. I think there's pros. There's certain teams that if they're good, it has an effect, overall effect on the game and the league. Like, one of the best kept secrets to me is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're really good. They seem to be off radar. I mean, who's called up here and said, Tampa Bay this, Tampa? Nobody. This seems like they're just out there. The Saints get a little more references than the Bucs, and the Bucs are always better.
I don't think the Saints are going to be very good this year.
They're not. But Todd Bowles has done a hell of a job. But he's kind of like under the radar.
Yeah, I think part of it is their division, too. You know, when you have other good teams in the same division, people are going to talk about more about when you come out on top. You know? Like when you're looking at the Ravens and the Bengals and the Steelers all in the same division, or even the Commanders and the Eagles together, you know, there's still a lot of question about who might take that division. I think everyone kind of expects Tampa to win that division, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're you know, as good as some of the other division winners because of it. Or at least they're not perceived to be.
And that's it. That's my point is that. It's like, I think the Denver Broncos are really good. But they don't get a lot of pull. You don't. It's just certain
but you
teams.
When you're in there with the Chiefs, though, that's tough.
Yeah, but, you know, field goal. They block a field goal. They beat them. It was that close.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are the best team on the planet that doesn't necessarily play well every week. They find a way to get a win, but it's not like
if you're down by a score with a minute left,
well, you got
it's hard to beat them.
You got and they've had some injuries, and Andy has, he's not even really, to me, it's their defense that is really the stars. Their defense saves their behind. They make plays on defense. I hope we get that many plays made on defense this year. I mean, I thought they're underrated. Spagnuolo, he's a beast. And they drafted well. When you get an edge guy that sticks and it works, and their secondary drafts have been extraordinary, they find a way to get it done. But I think Baltimore has more firepower. Buffalo might have more fire, but they can't beat them. And that's what makes this so crazy. That's why the AFC is so interesting. If you're playing the wager game, I don't know how you do it, because that seems to be like you're on the edge. Buffalo, talk about this America's team crap, and Dallas has earned it because they're revenue-based. Don't you know Buffalo how popular? They
earned it, my ass.
Well, they've earned it. They paid them. They got the money. How can you say they haven't? They control the media.
They control money, New York. The Yankees are America's team, right?
Control the media. Their product is subpar, but yet they lead in revenue. So how do you explain it?
That doesn't make you America's team, is my point.
They say they are. First of all, they said they were, and most people bought into it.
But unless you're trying to make some sort of comment about America, about how, you know, being rich or something and not actually producing anything is
pretty
very
good analogy. Yeah, it's a pretty good analogy. It's not really looking well on Americans. I'm telling you what, when you have not been in the game in 30 years and you're bragging about something, that you should check yourself because your stats are off. 11:58, we'll take a quick timeout. We attack high noon right here on B-Mitch and Finley. You know, we have not given the Wahoos any love today. They took out a whooping stick on Coastal Carolina. Some of these scores, man, 48-7. And I don't know, somebody must have said something insulting to the Trojans. As Mitch, you'll enjoy this one. Missouri State put up 13. The Trojans put up 73. Now, I mean, it's like some of this is crazy. Now, this is what you think should happen, but we don't know. But the most anticipated game really of the weekend slate, other than OSU and the Longhorns, is the Tar Heels and Dr. Sabah's squad. As tonight, they unroll a new look. And I've been told that the luxury box will be unoccupied, that Dr. Sabah decided to chill out and not support the Heels in week one. Any truth to that matter, Sabah?
Hey there, Doc. Nope. Plans have changed. I'll be in the blue zone.
Oh, wait. Oh,
enjoying the game
away
tonight, buddy.
She
I'm going.
Could not stay away.
I got an offer I could not resist.
Okay.
I was like, because everybody, who's who is going to be there? It's legislators' night. It's, I mean, everybody, all the stars.
It's 23. Everybody's there. It's 23 going to be there.
What's 20? Oh, you know,
Jeffrey.
I bet Michael Jordan probably is. I bet. And if he is, you know, I'm going to find him.
How about 56?
This is going to be selfie night for me.
How about 56?
Oh, Lawrence said, but he'll probably be on the sideline. Ooh, I might not be able to get to him, but we're getting there early. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I do have a knack of attracting the correct people. You know, the stars, because they see my star quality.
Yeah, you've done that. Your track record.
Yes, I attracted you. I got a self review. That's my best one.
Yeah. Well, I was at the right place at the right time.
Right time.
Yeah. Time.
Here's what I'm worried about, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Being embarrassed. Ooh, I don't know, man. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if this little girlfriend of his, you know, kind of softened him up a little bit, or, you know, kind of, I don't know.
She's
do we have
kind of practice? I mean, when he's coaching.
I know what they kicked her out of the practice. Y'all know if you heard that.
No, I didn't.
A few weeks ago, they made a statement. She's not allowed on the practice field anymore. Yeah, they got rid of that. I don't know. That was just for show for the alum, you know, because we were all getting like, ooh, as alum, like, come on, dude, what are y'all doing, you know? But I want to quickly mention last night's game. You know, I was critical. I was critical of these quarterbacks that I've seen so far. I thought the two last night, I was impressed. There was a passing game. I wasn't a big Georgia quarterback fan. I wasn't a big fan of his. He did well. I think Miami's back. ACC, baby. Miami, Florida State, Clemson, and we'll see if my Tar Heels can hang. But I hated the Virginia Tech loss. I was really rooting for them. I can't believe that the guy took the penalty. Oh, my God, he took the penalty, and then they ran it back for a touchdown. That was the game right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the punt, I don't know if you saw that. But I'm excited. I'm excited about tonight. So, fingers crossed. Please, please, what do you think? Are we going to get embarrassed? Is it going to be close?
Are you thinking? Really have no idea. Because, again, you don't get a preview for the most part with Kyle. These kids come out and they play cold turkey, and for the most part, they represent. And if you get a couple of studs at the right spot, it can be a difference. I mean, as much people bitched about Ohio State, Texas, I mean, you're on the 1 yard line. You had opportunities, you got stopped. If the team stops you, good for them. But it's not like the game was
trash. Why they stopped him, Doc? They didn't trust the quarterback to throw it, so Ohio State knew it wasn't going to be a pass. See, when you limit your offense because your quarterback, it could have been just that one day, Doc. It's not his career, but his one day.
Move the pocket. Utilize his asset. He's an athlete. That's game plan. Well, we'll argue this forever.
All right.
That was
awful.
All right, good luck. Enjoy yourself.
I'll see you.
All right. You know how she sounds when she's at a sporting event? She's been on vacation. She's been on the fence. She's been miserable. But now she's back at a game, and, you know, she's bouncing off the walls. And that's what you want, man. That to be that excited about a sporting event is what it's all about. New chapter. You think Bill's nervous?
No.
I don't know.
I think that guy's got ice in his veins.
Yeah. I can't – all the hoopla over his fiance, that's interesting to me.
Well, it's certainly a unique situation, to put it that way.
Is it unique because it's almost like a collegiate on a college campus as opposed to if they were dating and he's the pros, is it that big a thing?
Yeah, I don't even know if that – besides the age thing or whatever, there's certainly – it's almost like a rebranding they're trying to go through with him or something. And he's kind of this grumpy old guy. You know, you've seen all his old press conferences.
Oh, I live for him. No, I live for him.
Yeah.
I live for him because he makes the media earn everything.
But in college, it's a much more, you know, the way the teams work and are run, the coaches, you know, most of these players that come out of a school, they're talking about how the coach is the biggest influence on their life and really taught them how to not just play football but be a man and life lessons and whatever, and it just seems we'll see how he adapts to it. It's not that I don't think he has the potential to do that. It's definitely a change for him. It'll be interesting to see what he does. I do think the interesting thing, you know, like Nick Saban kind of said he retired because he didn't want to deal with NIL and the portal and how like the modern, you know, everything works. I mean, Bill Belichick's been dealing with professionals and free agents and whatever his whole career, so he may actually have a distinct advantage on some of this that some of these other career college coaches don't. I don't know.
But can you imagine being as powerful as Nick was? I got to believe that that's worse, harder for him because he didn't have to answer to anybody. And then all of a sudden, you can't even lock your doors at your house.
Well, I mean, like the rules of the game changed for him too. You know, he had a system set up where he could have basically just made a dynasty, you know, a program that would dominate almost every year. And the rules of the game changed, you know.
I remember the wishbone. And I remember how the Southeast Conference, when you look at the schools that were dominant and then they got away, it changed. You got every group has had to deal with some change. So in a lot of ways, you just go, would he just quit? because you couldn't be a dictator. You couldn't dominate an area. I don't think his competitive juices are awesome. I loved him on television because the dude's a savant. And he could, and the kids, one thing I like about Nick is what the kids who play for him say. You never hear him saying that. They roll with it because he gets them what they want.
Yeah.
They had a collaborative effort to get the bag.
It will be interesting to see if kids coming out of UNC in, you know, a few years, not just this first year, but in a few years, say a similar kind of stuff about Belichick, I guess. I guess that's what I'd be really interested to see. But it's kind of interesting. I cannot remember the last time. I said this with Toby in the last show. I can't remember the last time there's this much hype about a college coach's debut. You know? I mean, sometimes when they switch from one team to another.
Well, like Rich Rod, he did. Rich Rod was on the curse. He had some great accomplishments.
Sure.
Rodriguez. And then that changed, and then coming back. I really always pull for West Virginia because of the home field atmosphere. It's one of those where I encourage you, if you haven't done it, to do it once. The muskets go off the whole night. They got a really slick program and atmosphere. It's just one of those things that you want to see. It's it's like the Gator in the Swamp, or in Auburn. Like I remember when Auburn, Alabama, that was as good as it got. And I think about that with Cam because you've been hard on Cam today in his outfits and stuff.
He's been doing that forever. When's
the last time you
At least he's committed to the bit.
Oh, he's all in.
He's committed to the bit.
I've not seen him out of costume. I can't remember the last time I saw him out of costume.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, he's going to pull it off. I really think he's going to pull it off.
I don't know.
That's why I love seeing Raven Caldwell, my Razorback brother, because they're fighting. The other one is that in Indiana. Have we just moved on from Indiana now? Don't leave too soon. Nettie, man, I love his approach because he's fighting the system. You know, Illinois, another one of those I keep my eye on. There's some really good coaching on display at Illinois because they're highly competitive.
Yeah, the Illini are tough.
Yeah, yeah. And, you earn that. And part of for me, I like Big Red being back. Cornhuskers. Cornhuskers being relevant is interesting because of how they treat the sport.
I mean, I remember growing up, they were kind of one of the dominant one like up. Miami
Absolute.
And Nebraska.
Nebraska was always there.
Well, Miami was the other big one,
Well, the U. Yeah, I pulled for the U. You pull for the U because of what it brings. First of all, their players are going to be on the sideline. Nobody kind of does it like they do it. It's like a subculture with the U. And I loved it because of the way they train in the off seasons. They had an old school gladiator weight room. Not new, not modern, and their pros would go back. Everybody would go back and train. They probably exhibited the most from an alumni situation where if they're recruiting you, you'd want to be a part of what they built. And it goes back a minute. They're very much into that. And I like that. It's how it used to be around here. And now we're in that transitional, point to where now that you're hot, can you stay hot? I don't think anybody's envisioned this program having a lousy September. I can't see that. Can't see it. And that's when you know you really jumped the broom. Yeah. That's when you know you jumped the broom. Do you realize how good JD5 really is? I was watching some of his LSU tapes the other night, just going back on YouTube. And you see him there. They had the advanced system. He had two killers on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
He had everything, and then it made his running he had more feel to control.
I mean, I remember that was one of the concerns people had was like, was he really that good in college or did he just have great receivers?
Both is above. All of the above.
Yeah,
all of the above. It's interesting. 219, pushing up on 220 here in the nation's capital. B. Mitch, what do you think B. Mitch is? No, I know what B. Mitch is doing. He's cooking. What do you think JP's doing?
I don't know.
Better
man.
Yet, what do you think Landfill's doing?
Landfill probably just chilling, man. Landfill probably just chilling.
Oh, man. Shout out to the boys. Take a quick time out. 1-800-636-1067. The question was, your area concern, what group, is there a subgroup that you're most concerned about with the commander?